folks. Welcome back. Welcome back to Corbett Report Radio. Here we are on this Tuesday night edition of the broadcast, Wednesday, if you happen to be across the dateline like myself and my guest, and we are talking to Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're talking about what's happening in New Zealand generally and how the political corruption that you are so familiar with wherever you are in the world is also happening, of course, in New Zealand. And that is very much the case, as unfortunately, no matter where we turn in this new world order, it's still the same globalist system run by the same people, connected to the very same institutions. And in the case of New Zealand, with the small world it is after all. And I must admit, I like that term, Prime Sinister. I'm going to start using it for our own Prime Sinister in my home and native land of Canada. And I like it because it reminds me of Darth Sidious or something of that nature. But I think that that is so much a part of this problem, is that it is the very same small group of well-connected individuals that end up in power in country after country. Vinny, it's almost like it's planned to be that way. How could this possibly be?
Well, how could it not possibly be, is the thing. If you see the same program being implemented everywhere in exactly the same way and there's no variation, right? It is definitely a conspiracy. It is definitely orchestrated. You're either a conspiracy theorist who believes that somebody, who believes that powerful people who have a lot of influence use their power to maintain their influence, or you are a coincidence theorist who believes that everything happens by sheer coincidence. There's no such thing as lying. There's no such thing as backroom deals. There's no such thing as murder. There's no such thing as crime. Those things don't exist, and everybody's just a victim of circumstance. You know, the gun must have accidentally gone off, you know, from the school depository building, you know, that kind of stupidity. Which one of those two groups sounds more insane? Certainly not the conspiracy theorist, because a conspiracy theorist is at least in some part in touch with reality. And this is what the mainstream media is concocted, in my opinion, to subvert people's perception of reality. And in order to believe that there's no such thing as objective truth and fact, that everything is in fact an opinion or perception, and there's truly nothing real.
And you're so right to indicate that it's about decoupling causality. It's like things don't flow from one thing to another. We can't connect dots. It's all just random happenstance. And my favorite personal example of that is something that Michael Parenti points out about the JFK assassination, where in 1979, I believe it was, when the House Select Committee on Assassinations came out with their verdict that there was a 95% probability that it was a conspiracy. There were more than one shooter involved. The Washington Post, I believe it was, immediately editorialized that by saying, well, it could have been two disaffected loners acting independently who happened to be there at the same time shooting at the exact same moment, which is just the most absurd non-conspiracy theory I've ever heard. It's so ridiculous that there's nothing you can do but laugh at it. And yet this is the type of mentality that so many people have bought into. Why are people buying into this? Why do they fall for this type of propaganda?
I think it's because they didn't really ever get presented with an alternative to the lie. If you've never been presented with an alternative, how would you perceive one exists? Okay, if there's no questioning reality, then whatever reality is given to you is unquestioned. It's pretty straightforward. And you get into education, which in my opinion, when you translate the word, means indoctrinate. You get into the public education system, you get into higher university, and then later on you go into tertiary study and things like this. And the way of teaching, or at least the way I've experienced it personally here in New Zealand, is that if you're an individual, you don't go... basically, if you've got independent thought, you don't act the way they want me to, because you don't want to regurgitate, you want to inquire, you want to elaborate, you want to experiment and things like that, but you're not allowed to, you're not supposed to. You're instead encouraged to read the source material, regurgitate exactly what they've got for you, and it has a strict protocol with very little chance for deviation. Ergo, the people will be taught to not question. They will be taught to not think. They will instead be taught to regurgitate things instead of listening to contrary evidence. You see what I'm saying? And we see that all the time. anybody who says that 9/11 is an inside job to one of these people, the concept that jet fuel only burns at, say, what 750 degrees or something, you needed like 1500 odd to melt steel and things like that, goes right over their head, because officialdom told them that it can, even though they know different, and they're programmed to repeat back what officialdom has told them to. Right,
mind exactly. Control, to the extent that they even know what the official story is on any issue, it's usually just glossed over, and it's just sort of received wisdom. Well, of course they came down because of the jets. What other explanation could there be? And I think you're right. Of course, a lot of it is due to the fact that alternatives aren't being presented to people, and then the other half of that equation is the indoctrination, as you say. And doesn't that go back to exactly what we were talking about earlier with this idea that if you have the credentials, then you're a journalist, but if you don't have those credentials, you can't be classified as a journalist. That's the same mentality they get us into. You have to have the academic stamp of approval in order to be whatever it is that you think you are.
Mm-hmm. And people think that if that's the case, if there's a conspiracy and it's affecting me here, then maybe I'll go to New Zealand where the tyranny is not quite so ramped up as yet. Or maybe, and there's people in New Zealand going, man, I don't like the tyranny in New Zealand anymore. I'm going to go to the tyranny in Australia. Maybe that will suit me better. Or maybe I like the tyranny in the UK. Maybe CCTV is more my thing. And the whole concept of which tyranny suits me best is belied by the fact that you don't question whether or not tyranny suits you at all.
Yeah, exactly right. And to me, to my mind, that's the exact same as the entire electoral process and which slave master will treat me the best. And people literally buy into their own enslavement by choosing one or the other of the political puppets that are laid out before them instead of questioning the system that's been placed around them, and even the concept of government, which to my mind is one of the big last institutions that has to fall in the mind at least of the alternative media before we can really start affecting change. But maybe that's just my own contentious opinion. But let's talk a little bit about the people on the ground there in New Zealand and the average person on the street. I mean, to what extent are they even aware of issues of the TPP and other types of issues like that? And to what extent do people actually care about this?
I would probably say to Japan in a very apathetic domineered by an empire type fashion. Nobody even looks up, nobody cares, nobody questions, and they simply swallow what the TV has to them. However, I've always maintained for a long time that you do not need a cast of thousands to change the world. And in truth, if you look at history, it has only ever been a small cast of characters that has changed things for the better or worse. Ergo, the power of the individual is what matters, not the power or the actions of the masses. Now, that's what the lesson of history says. So at the very least, this small group of people that I've got relatively, by comparison to the base of the population, got 4 million people, and I'd probably say, I know, off the top of my head, maybe 1,000 activists or something like that who have either been on my show, been on my YouTube channel, or something like that. I've basically put these people online where they've never been online before, where they've never had their views capable for public consumption. And you would not believe just how many hits they get. Okay? And what I've found is all you got to do is find those little individual pockets, okay? And you group them together, and what you've got is you've got a framework for a resistance. Kind of like, I call it the tactic of the cactus. A cactus covers itself in spines in every direction, so to ensure that whenever it is touched by any predator or anything of that nature, it will get a little prick to remind it. And what I've found is that there's a New World Order agenda for virtually every sector, whether that be water, air quality, poisons in the food supply, or corruption in the government, financial scumbaggery, whatever you choose to look at. And there is always, in my experience, a person in that exact town, in that exact place, in that exact country, in that exact sector, in that exact office sometimes, who doesn't like it, knows everything there is to know about it, and is willing to talk about it. As somebody who wants to expose the truth, it is my job, I feel, my responsibility now, at the very least, to go out and find those people so that a cactus that has all these disparate spines everywhere that aren't pointed in any particular direction suddenly work cohesively, and you don't need a huge amount of spines to protect a small area.
That's a good analogy, and I think that's the way we have to look at it, because obviously we can't rely on the mass movement of mass numbers of people, and at the end of the day, we can't even rely on other people besides ourselves. All we can do is affect change amongst ourselves and those around us and those we love. And that's the best that we can do. And I think that we have to lead by example. So I think that that's an important part of this whole process. Tell us a little bit more about some of the things that are going on in New Zealand and what you hope to accomplish in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I don't... I've talked to a lot of older activists, people like even American ones like I'm sure you're familiar with G. Edward Griffin. I'm number 12th on his list on the Hall of Honor at the realityzone.com, and that was just after having a 1-2 hour conversation with me. So I'm very much like my father. I'm capable of forging relationships and making friends very, very quickly, and as a direct result, I'm starting to build networks, disparate networks all over the place in different sectors. So what I want to do is create a counter-conspiracy platform. Okay, so let's say, for example, there's a media conspiracy. Ergo, you need to create a new media platform to engage it, to encounter it. Okay, so you've one conspiracy, do the opposite, take it. Also, and also the main principles are centralized decision-making. You need to decentralize decision-making. So I don't want to create a media apparatus here in my house and stuff like that and have everybody coming here to do all their work. I want to instead give them a microphone and a Mac and go home, and then they can go out to protest. They can make their videos. They can upload. They can do the editing. They can do all this themselves, and they don't need me anymore, okay? To create a system of media, essentially, that makes the media apparatus that created it redundant, i.e. me. And in business, that's actually, I found this out recently after coming up with this idea all on my own, of course, that's actually the most efficient business model, and that's what good managers are supposed to do, is actually find ways to make things run and make themselves redundant. This is the plan. Give everybody the tools that they need. They can go out and do the work. And so eventually I won't have to do all of this radio hosting and all of this videos and all of this exposing scumbaggery myself. I'll have other people doing that, and I'll be off creating new platforms. For example, I want to do a Truth of Business Network. I know lots of truthers. They're painters, they're house builders, they're architects, they're gas station attendants, they're liquor store workers, they're this, that, and the other. They're all over the place. Some of them own businesses. I'd like to create a Truth of Business Network, like a Yellow Pages. So you can, if you want to, in your particular area, like let's say you go to Auckland, New Zealand, and you got all the list of businesses and stuff like that in Auckland, New Zealand. Cool. I've got a truther who can do my panel beating. I've got a truther who I can buy my groceries off. I've got a truther I can do this, blah, 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 blah. You create the alternative business system, because what the New World Order business system does is it acts as a clique and forces out its competition. Same mentality with the Truth of Business Network, except what you're doing is you're forcing out the evil scumbaggery corporations and allowing people to have access to the good, moral, decent, ethical, cheap, and very honest business practice that we would prefer to replace it. So there's that. I also want to create a school, all the way from kindergarten through to university, so that you can teach children the basic principles of, deductive reasoning and just general tools that you need to live a moral and intelligent, questioning life, and have the idea that I'm not all that I am just now. There is always something I can be improving on. I can always learn something new. I can always do something new. I can always be more than I currently am. And that's how I feel of myself. Am I better today? Have I done more today than I did tomorrow? And for the last 5 years, the answer is absolutely. Absolutely. Every single day I've done more than the day previous. I've got more to show for it. I've got... when you're doing videos and radio shows and something like that, you're not just having a conversation. You've got something to show for it at the end of it. You've got a conversation that many people can latch onto and replicate. And this would be the same principle in school. Have you actually advanced your knowledge? Would I be able to ask you a question about 9/11 and have you be able to tell me any particular part of a conspiracy about it? Would you be able to tell me how the CIA runs drugs and its apparatus? Would you be able to tell me this, that, and the other, such and such? When children are young, their learning capacity is extremely high. They can learn multiple languages if they're being spoken around them. They can bring up information. And the scariness that we felt as adults learning this stuff for the first time, having had the alternate false reality growing up, we have this kind of feeling of loss, the sensation of hopelessness and things like that, because we have to start again. I theorize that if children are actually brought up with this, they would see the New World Order conspiracy as absolutely normal, and fighting against it and exposing it is just a normal part of life. And they've always been trying to kill you, they've always been trying to do this, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't actually make a difference. What does make a difference is you and what you choose to do in this very moment to help other people and protect human life.
Well, that is such an important perspective, and I especially like the idea of the business network, because that's something I'm always stressing, that people have to get off of the system and stop literally paying their money and putting their blood, sweat, and tears into the corporations that are turning around and blaming them. And how do you do that other than building up local businesses, communities, people that you know and can trust and who sympathize with what you're talking about? What's the best way to bring people like that together? Well, through something like a Truth or Business Network, so you know who it is you're dealing with and you know that you are getting off of that grid and that system. So that's a great idea, and I hope that that can come to fruition in some form or another. But Vinny, time flies when you're having fun and when you're dwelling on the lighter side of genocide. So we are coming up to the end of our time together. Why don't you tell people again about your show and your website and how people can access your work?
I will. And first, before I do, I wanted to say Republic Broadcasting Network, good friends of American Freedom Radio for a long time. Danny and John go way back, and we appreciate all the stuff that you guys do over there. And you seriously, man, seriously, everybody on RBN should be freaking proud of themselves. I want to say that first off. You can catch me weekdays 5 till 7 Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And you can also find my website, TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. It's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, allegedly. And my YouTube channel, Mr. News, like, hello, I'm Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, Guerrilla like a soldier, not like an ape, although I am 6'4" and rather burly.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Vinny Eastwood, TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for yours.
All right, we'll be right back to wrap things up right after these messages.